probably get the results then. So we want to pray for that. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. Don't go by the bulletin because I didn't know what I was going to speak on. But Revelation chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11. Due to the nature of this, putting it all together in one day, I felt like it'd be good to do it all on a Sunday. Next week we'll get back into Mark on Sunday morning, and Revelation on Sunday night, and Wednesday night we'll be in the study on the attributes and the perfections of God as we look at how God is unchanging, God is immutable. And so we'll be looking at that Wednesday. Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. A two-part message. I'll give you one outline today, one main division this morning, and the two other ones are tonight. We're going to be looking at the plan of Christ this morning in verses 9 through 11. And his plan is that we suffer for his kingdom and that we serve his kingdom. You're not going to hear what I'm going to tell you this morning from a health, wealth, prosperity gospel preacher. It is God's will, not only that he grants us salvation, repentance, and faith, but also to suffer for his kingdom. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. John needed encouragement for the revelation about to be revealed to him. And he was on the Isle of Patmos. And just as John needs it, we need encouragement as well when we're going through suffering and hardness and hardship in our lives, especially in the context for suffering for righteousness and for Christ. Dark days ahead for this world. Y'all know that, right? And dark days ahead for the church as far as in its relationship to the world. But it never looked brighter for the kingdom of God knowing Jesus Christ. So what John gets is to help him on the Isle of Patmos and to help him for all the heavy revelation that he's about to get on the unveiling of Christ is he gets a glimpse in our text today, Revelation chapter 1, 9 through 20, of the glorified, exalted Christ. And that's what he needs. And this, what we see in our text today is the Jesus that is in heaven. He's not the meek little lamb, suffering servant no more. He's the Lion, the tribe of Judah. And we need a vision of who Christ is. And when he comes back, that's the one we're going to see at the rapture. And also when we come back with him at the second coming at the end of the tribulation, that's the one we're coming with. A vision of the glorified, exalted Christ. So as we look at this text today, I want to note three truths of this vision that teaches us as followers of Jesus Christ. This morning, the plan of Christ. So let's stand in honor of God's word, and let's begin reading in verse 9. Now, last week we talked about 1 through 8, about how this revelation came to us. And we talked about God speaking and how we ought to respond in obedience. Now, we pick up in verse 9, I, John. Well, right away you know that John is the author of the book, right? Who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. Now, he's writing this to seven historical churches and to us as well. I am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Was in the Isle of Patmos, the isle that is called Patmos, was in, we'll explain that in a few moments, for the word of God, twofold exile purpose, for the word of God, that's the gospel, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, Jesus is Lord. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Father, I pray this morning that we'll get a hold of the plan of Christ for his church this morning. Not only to take us to glory, not only to take us to heaven, but in the meantime on this earth, we will suffer for holiness and godliness and for sharing the gospel. And if we follow Christ, if we're faithful for him, there's going to be suffering from this world. Father, there's one thing we didn't reckon on, though, all through the ages, that a lot of the suffering would come from within the so-called church. So today, Father, teach us how we are to suffer for you, your kingdom and how we are to serve your kingdom. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. I bet you forgot, you thought I forgot to say that, didn't you? Look at this, the plan of Christ. Number one, that we suffer for his kingdom. Look at it again in verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. So not only was he exiled, but the other believers all over the place are undergoing tribulation for the cause of Christ. And unto the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, which was in the Isle of Pat, called Patmos. I used to call it Patmos, but it's not no U in it, it's an O, right? Patmos. For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. We suffer for his kingdom. John the apostle was exiled to the Isle of Patmos in the Aegean Sea because of the word of God and his faithful witness to Jesus Christ. And it happened around A.D. 95. Patmos was about 70 miles southwest of Ephesus, and it was 10 by 6 mile in width, if you will, in length, a mountainous island off of Ephesus, about 70 miles. And just as John suffered for preaching the word of God and proclaiming the testimony of Jesus Christ, we who are faithful to him will suffer also. If you don't believe that, go to the mall in Tallahassee and yell out, Jesus is Lord. Amen? Amen? Right? And you'll find it out pretty quick. Go to the FSU campus giving out Gideon Bibles. You'll find it out, right? Amen. All you got to do is say that the gospel, there's no other way to heaven except through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and Jesus is Lord. And you will be persecuted. Because we're in a world that does not know God. They run counterculture to the things of God. So here he was, suffering. And if we're going to be faithful like John, we're going to suffer as well. There's no health, wealth, and prosperity gospel in this. I don't know what our friends with the health, wealth, prosperity gospel do with this text. I don't know, but I want you to note four aspects of suffering here. Number one, and we're just going to take all what the Bible says here, and we're going to give them all a P word, if you will. Look first of all in verse 9. There is partnership in suffering for Jesus. He says here, you brother and companion in tribulation. Many times we think that we're the only ones suffering, right? And even for the physical sickness, we think, well, we're the only ones that got this. But multitudes of thousands of others have the same stuff we got, right? And they are a companion in physical illness. But John here is talking about companion in suffering for the cause of Christ. We are not alone in our suffering. We need to remember that. Others have suffered before us and will suffer after us. All the apostles at this moment, when John is writing this, by this time had been martyred. Even his own brother James was the first martyr in the church beheaded for the cause of Christ. So he's not the first and he's not going to be the last. All through the ages of the church age, there will be suffering for the cause of Christ if you stand up. And others have paid the ultimate price, and so we suffer as a family. Now, let me say it like that. Our brothers and sisters in the past, the present, and the future that stand up for the gospel and stand up for the testimony of Jesus Christ will suffer. We suffer as a family. In fact, there is another passage somewhere in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, where when Christ comes at the end of the tribulation period with fiery angels and he comes to make retribution for those that persecuted Christ and the church, he makes recompense for that moment. All that they've done wrong to the church will be made right when Christ comes at his second coming. So it doesn't escape his knowledge. It doesn't escape his memory bank, if I can put it that way. God knows how his church is being treated. And he will, in fact, you think of Paul on the road to Damascus. Jesus appeared to him and said, why are you persecuting me? And he was killing Christians, but it was persecuting Christ, right? So there's going to be a recompense day coming one day. The Lord himself promised John that he would die of an old age in John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19. The only martyr, only apostle not to be martyred. The historians tell us he got off Patmos and he went back to Ephesus and died of a man of old age there. And I personally believe, because he says, note verse 9, he said he was in the Isle of Patmos. I believe he wrote the book. He wrote the revelations to the seven churches after he got back to Ephesus myself. So he was in the Isle of Patmos. So there is partnership in our suffering for Christ. But secondly, there's pain in suffering for Christ. Note what he said in verse 19, tribulation. That word tribulation there means pressure or trouble or affliction. John received his greatest revelation, climbed to the greatest height of joy. But also, he was on a spiritual mountain, even though he was in the Isle of Patmos. See, how you live as a Christian is not determined by your circumstances, right? Here's John on the Isle of Patmos, exiled for the cause of Christ. And yet he had his highest spiritual moment on the Isle of Patmos. He climbed to his highest height as a believer through his intense suffering. And then not only that, there's a privilege in suffering for Jesus. Note that word in verse 9, that word kingdom. He says, I, John, also am your brother and companion in tribulation and the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ in the kingdom. And we enter this kingdom when we repent of our sins and believe in Christ as the only way of salvation. We embrace him. We're indwelt by his Holy Spirit of God. But we must be willing to suffer for him. We must be willing to bear our cross daily, right? That's what Jesus said. If you're going to follow after me, let a man deny himself, take up his cross daily. To them, that meant dying. And that day, when Jesus said that, they knew he meant you must be willing to die for me. Bear his own cross daily. And then the Bible says here, we will reign with him. But also, in the meantime, we got to count it a privilege to suffer for him. Okay? So there's a privilege in suffering for Jesus. But then, note else, also there's a purpose in suffering for Jesus. Patience and endurance. You see that in verse 9? Endure or persevere means to abide under a heavy load. To stay with, to hang in there, not throw the towel in, not throw in the towel, if you want to put it whatever, don't give up. Being a Christian is a lifetime journey, right? It's not quitting and saying, well, this is too difficult for me. If it's too difficult for you, you probably never had it, right? Because he gives you the power to live the Christian life and endure whatever he has for us. So there's a purpose in our suffering. All for him and in him, according to his plan and his will. John's exile to Patmos was not an accident. It was not a hiccup in the plan of God. It did not take God by surprise. He was in Christ, and he was of Christ, and he was for Christ. So much for this hogwash that if you're a follower of Christ, you're not going to have to suffer. Amen? You will. You will. John chapter 15, verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you? Jesus said, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. What does that mean? Well, Jesus is telling his disciples and us here that we need to expect to be treated like they treated Jesus, right? And if they hear his word and obey, then they will hear your words and obey also, see? So that does not stop us from sharing the gospel, their reaction, because we are called to be faithful to it. So we suffer for his kingdom. There's a second privilege here, and that's found in verse 10 and verse 11. We serve his church. God has saved us not only to make us like Christ, but in the meantime, we serve in his church. Amen? We serve the body of Christ all together. We are all ministers, right? Say it with me. We are all ministers, right? Now notice verse 10. He says this in verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I was in the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, in the context, you look at and see how it's used in Revelation. This phrase is used four times in Revelation and refers to a supernatural state of inspiration. As he wrote, he was getting this revelation of Jesus Christ. He was in the Spirit, right? He had the Spirit, but he was in the Spirit. John did not seek it, but It's a divine, someone writer wrote it this way, it's a divine seizing, what's the word I'm looking for? Seizing of God. God seized him, okay? All right? And I know I'm in trouble when I look at Wanda and she's shaking her head. She don't know where I'm at. But we were in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, I've heard all kind of interpretations about this. People come up, well, every day is the Lord's Day, and that's true. And how is it used here? At first, it's Sunday, the first day of the week, a day of corporate worship. He was on Resurrection Sunday. I don't need to tell you. When you miss the church assembly by negligence or apathy, you're missing something that could be for you, right? Amen. Then notice something else in verse 11. He, what is this voice that John heard? Now look at it closely, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice, notice this, as of a trumpet. He didn't hear a trumpet, but the voice was as of a trumpet. It was a loud voice. Go over to Revelation 4:1 just a moment. And we see here when what many people believe is the parallel of the rapture of the church before the tribulation. Looking for 4:1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me. It was the voice of God. It was the voice of Christ. And this is figurative speech. It wasn't a literal trumpet. Not in the context, but it sounded like a trumpet, right? Majesty and authority and power, right? And it was the very voice, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, that sounded forth as a trumpet. And John is commanded to write in a book or a scroll what he had seen, what he had heard, and send it to the seven churches. Now, there were seven historical churches. You see that in our verses that we're looking at in verse 11. They were on the mail route there in Asia Minor, beginning with Ephesus, going all the way to Laodicea. Actual, real seven historical churches. But many people believe that they're also representative of churches today. You might have a church that has the characteristics of a church at Ephesus. And far too many today have the characteristics of the Laodicean church. They have no need of nothing, apathy and complacency. And some people believe, of which I am one of them, that it not only takes us from the church age in Ephesus, the apostolic church, but also to the Laodicean church that's going to be left behind when Christ comes for the rapture of the church. And I believe that because each of them gets progressively a condemnation from our Lord as we look at this. So we're going to be looking at those later, and next Sunday begin to look at those. But these are representative of churches throughout history. Example, the church at Ephesus. Oh, they were strong. Had Paul and Timothy and John as pastors. I mean, they were strong. They were busy religiously. But yet he says, I have this against you. What? Nevertheless, you have left your first love. He didn't say lost your first love. He said you have left your first love. Men, there's nothing like that honeymoon love, right? Ethan, you're experiencing it right now, probably, but there's a different feeling in that honeymoon love. And after about 2 months, you get up and look at the same woman every day. Honeymoon love has a way of leaving you, right? And so, y'all know I'm just joking, Faye, I'm just joking, okay? But especially when you see them in curlers, Ethan, or you see them brushing their teeth, man, well, what have I done got myself into here? But also them seeing you, right? And so it doesn't say they lost their first love. They left their honeymoon love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I submit to you that many churches are in that state today. Now, John obeyed and served well Christ's church, certainly, even unto death if it was necessary. Now, I want you to think about something as we begin to close this morning. Think about this. What we do for Christ, we do for the church universal, right? Y'all follow me? What we do for Christ, we do for the body of Christ everywhere. But we also do it for our local church, right? So when you think about it, when you clean the church, think about this. You're doing it for Jesus, and you're doing it for the whole church, and you're doing it for this local church, right? That'll put a little skip in your cleaning, won't it, right? And think about this. When you hand out bulletins, you're not only handing them out for yourself, you're handing them out for Jesus, for the church, and the local church. I try to get a representative of ministries here. When you're locking the doors and turning out the lights, you're doing it for Jesus, amen? And you're doing it for the church, and you're doing it for the local church. Send out cards, letters, calls. You're doing it for Jesus, you're doing it for the church, and you're doing it for the local church. You see, we may look at it this way. Maybe we look at it this way. We think sometimes I'm just doing this for the local church. But no, you're doing it for Jesus and his whole body of Christ all over the world, right? And even the body of Christ that's asleep in Jesus in heaven right now. And all those that are going to come. You're doing it for the local church as well. I mean, that deserves a big wow, okay? Give me a wow, somebody. Oh, that's something, ain't it? That'll make you want to go outside and pick up gum paper in the churchyard, amen? When you're doing it for Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question, and we'll finish tonight. As we look at the person of Christ, the vision of the glorified, exalted Christ tonight, what he's like in heaven, and what he's going to be like when he comes. And then we're going to see the power of Christ through his word. But I want all heads bowed, all eyes closed as our musicians come this morning. I want to ask you a question. The only way to get saved is to look unto Jesus, right? He is the author and finisher of our faith. There's no other name, no other person given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. He is the only way to heaven. He is the only one that came and died for our sins, lived perfect righteousness, died for our sins. Did not offend the law of God in any way. He died as a perfect sacrifice for us. We must come to him, understanding that we're sinners, understanding that it is faith alone in Christ that brings salvation, believing the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Maybe you're here today and you've done that. Maybe you're undergoing some suffering right now, some hardness, some hardship, things you can't make sense of. I learned a long time ago, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. Let me ask you today, are you looking unto Jesus, who is our example in suffering? So we look to him for salvation, we look to him for strength in the midst of the journey. I want to invite you to respond according to God's will this morning. Whatever God would have you to do, you do it. Be obedient. You've heard the word. Outside of this today, if we don't obey it, it's pure negligent and willful sin. As your pastor, the greatest thing I can hear on Sunday morning when people leave is not that I enjoyed that sermon, but God spoke to me through the word of God this morning. Father, have your will and way in this service. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.